B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Joining us, he covers the Eagles for the Inquirer. Inquirer.com does such a great job. Jeff McClain. Good morning, Jeff.
Anthony, there goes your Brett Favre love, right?
I'm out. I've renounced any love I have for Favre. He's dead to me. How in the world can you fix yourself to criticize Wentz for playing like him?
Yeah, well, I mean, certainly Wentz never played as well as Favre did at his peak, but...
Yeah, but you don't get the point, right?
I wonder, yeah. I mean, did he say this 3 years ago? I don't recall him saying it three years ago. I mean, he's got a Twitter account. He could go on Twitter. I don't know. I mean, seems a little bit like hindsight. But
and by the way, like first of all, it's inane. And hey, listen, God bless Foles, but you're watching what he's doing in Chicago. I mean, are you serious? Right?
Like, yeah. Right. I mean, yeah. Look, Foles had a unbelievable run there late in 2017. I think most people would say that he was probably benefactory more of the way that offense was humming than of anything that he had done.
Of course. I mean, it's an obvious thing. It's ridiculous. Anyway, I'll continue to bash Favre.
The reason why I don't completely dismiss the idea is that there were like guys in the locker room that felt it. You know, like it's something that still kind of hangs in the air and hangs over the team to some extent. I'm not saying
terrible. We're talking
crazy.
It's insane.
I know, but it was something that was always going to be there until Carson won a Super Bowl. And it was just a tough spot for him to be in, and continues to be in, and it could only maybe even get worse for him, because the longer you go without doing that, the more it weighs on you. But I digress.
Oh my God. And by the way, we know how close Doug and Favre are. What do you think these two were having conversations about?
Well, I don't know how much they talk anymore, but, we know they have a relationship.
It's a good story. Well, here you go. I'll give you some more fodder. Take a listen to this. You got it?
No,
I'm talking to Andrew because I wanted to. He goes on and he talks about Doug too,
and he
says he's not. This is not on Doug. Here it is.
They're obviously banking on his upside. How many more years do you let it linger before you stick with him or you cut bait? That's a question they only can answer. But I know Doug. Of course, we were together for a long time. He's a very simple coach. He's going to put you in the best possible opportunity to succeed. He's not going to complicate things, so I know it's not Doug.
Wow!
Maybe
that's
Doug's
a big deal. I can't believe that. He comes out and he completely takes the side of Peterson, and furthermore, throwing Wentz under the bus. This whole regime has done nothing but throw Wentz under the bus.
Yeah, well, right. I mean, you look at Howie and how he's handled personnel and the quarterback.
Jalen Hurts. And Alshon Jeffrey. And my God, I it's unbelievable.
Yeah. Doug has to own some of this as well. And maybe he should stop being so simple. Let's stop having simple offense.
Yes.
I think it's good, actually,
I mean, not for nothing. But the simple offense, the mistakes in game management, the mistakes in play calling. I mean, look, I'm not taking Wentz off the hook totally, because we talked about it. There were some egregious plays that he made two Sunday nights ago. But it wasn't like the coach is showing you some brilliance either.
No. Carson's been very bad this year. There's a lot of things that are outside his control that are influencing his play. I think he ultimately deserves culpability for his failures. But, as we stated, the personnel has been great. A lot of the changes that were made haven't been great. and Doug's scheme and play calling, and some of the changes the coaching staff haven't been great. So it's a combination of things. So that's pretty much where it stands. We all know that at this point. You're going to go in first take and you're going to say something bold. And
yeah, I mean, I got to tell you, I got no time for that. I got no time for that, especially the history and everything else. I mean, that's a disgrace. Anyway,
yeah.
Beyond that, what's this? Everybody's healthy, Jeff, it looks like. Other than Ertz, everybody's healthy. Sam Malu's back. I mean, you're looking at pretty much a full complement of players.
Yeah, if you were to, I mean, just the way it's lining up here, they probably will be only without two or three starters, this weekend. Ertz being one, I guess DeSean Jackson would qualify still as a starter. Nate Gary is going to be out, but that's probably an upgrade.
Yeah, that's better. I want TJ Edwards.
Yeah, that's an upgrade. I sort of feel like the injury thing, while it's been a big part of this story this season and actually the last several years and how the team has played, you know, even before they really started going down the tubes in that regard, they were still not playing well. So we'll see how much it factors. I do feel like on the offensive line, it could have a significant impact. The best that the O-line played was in week two when they had essentially the O-line that you expect them to have after the Andre Dillard injury. I mean, Carson didn't get sacked once that game. It was a terrible game, clearly, but the O-line, I mean, Carson had time all day. So if they had that unit in there on Sunday, you would expect that to help Carson a little more.
All right, so what is your expectations coming out second half? I mean, clearly they're going to win a division. I mean, unless they somehow slip up to the Giants and somehow collapse, which I really don't see. How do you think the second half goes? And are they live going into the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, look, if they win here on Sunday against the Giants, they're all of a sudden a 500 team. It looks a little more respectable on paper, but it certainly helps them in winning that division title. That would separate them from, you know, everyone else by at least two games. That's a pretty big lead with seven games to go. Certainly not a matter of fact, but heading in the right direction. And look, I mean, they have the most talent. They still have the most talent. They don't have great talent, but they still have the most talent. I mean, aside from the Cowboys, which they're a mess, but they still have more talent than the other two teams. But, you know, let's see how they get through this Sunday. I mean, the Giants have played good football this last month. It hasn't really kind of shown in the win-loss column, but, you know, they're playing for Joe Judge. And, you know, they were leading Eagles by 14
points. He's a good coach.
Yeah, I think he's getting the guys to play for him. But, you know, I'm not a big Daniel Jones guy, and they have their injuries as well. But that would probably be their closest competition, I guess, for the division. Because if the Giants win, all of a sudden, then that makes them what, 3-6, I guess. Eagles would be 3-5. I mean, they're right back in it. So this is a big game for the Giants.
It would be half game out. Yeah, if the Giants beat the Eagles, it'd be half game out.
They're right back in it. And then the Eagles have, you got to travel to Cleveland. They got to face the Seahawks. They got Green Bay. Arizona still to play. I mean, they have the Saints. I mean, they have the tough stretch there. And that's why this game is monumental for them. This is huge. They got to win this game.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
And you know, sometimes the fact that the Giants played them so tight here, and if Evan Engram catches it, holds on to the ball, it's a, you know, they win. sometimes in the ebb and flow of the NFL, that's a death knell. Like the next time they play, because it's only been a couple weeks, it's 3 weeks that separate that I could see the Eagles winning by double digits.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. I mean, based upon how they played, I don't expect there to be this all of a sudden great improvement from the Eagles. I mean, they are what they are at this point. And even though they've won two in a row, they've been just completely terrible, ugly wins against really bad, not really bad teams, but not good teams or teams that have had issues outside of talent and injuries, et cetera. But I do feel like coming off the bye, being able to reset at the halfway point here and having those two wins. I mean, there's certainly some wind at their backs and getting guys back from injury. This is a great opportunity for them to reset. Now, is that going to happen? I don't know. And that's easier said than done. I mean, again, they are what they are at this point. But if the coaching staff had taken the time and really addressed the problems and not sugarcoated it, and said, okay, this is what we need to do. And I'm speaking almost specifically of Carson Wentz. And we spoke to Press Taylor today. And that was kind of the message that he tried to, I feel really confident that Carson's going to do this, that, and the other thing as we head into our second half. Then yeah, maybe there's something that they can build towards, and play a respectable way and finish strong. It's going to be tough though. I mean, like again, that stretch is those are all teams with winning records, and some of them are some of the better teams in the NFC. It's not going to be pretty, probably. But they do, as I said, they have a chance to reset here and to kind of change the narrative on what this team is.
Yeah, it's a good point. It's a good point. Hey, real quick, I'm curious. So Mailata's back to the bench, which I kind of, be honest with you, I like to see more of him because I want to see him in the future. And then what happens with the receiver snaps?
Yeah, I wrote about the O-line today, and Mailata spoke to us yesterday. And look, he was going back last week, but Lane Johnson just couldn't go, and he played right tackle and struggled early, kind of settled down and did pretty good there. I mean, it was a tough switch for him to make, four games starting at left tackle, all of a sudden switched to the right tackle. I agree with you to some extent. I mean, it wasn't like Jason. I think right now Jason Peters is still better than Jordan Mailata if you stack them up against each other. But it wasn't like Peters was playing great before he got hurt. He's always one or two snaps away from getting hurt again. Mailata, if anything, is held up. Maybe your best move is to slide JP back to right guard where you originally envisioned him or had him playing and put Mailata on that left flank. You got Lane at the right flank. You got Isaac Seumalo, Kelsey in the center. I mean, that's not a bad configuration. It's not like the guard play has been great. I know Nate Herbig's been pretty good, and you can hide those guys inside. But there's an argument to me for going with that group. I'm not sure if it's a super strong one, but I think there's clearly an argument that can be made.
And the receivers,
Fulgham's not coming off the field. Rager's not coming off the field. You know, maybe Hightower snaps are cut into a little bit. If what we're hearing is true, that Alshon Jeffrey may finally start playing, I don't know. I'll see, you know, when I see it, I'll believe it. But I think those are the guys, and certainly Greg Ward in the slot. I mean, those four guys, you know, I think we'll continue to see those guys as the primary snap guys. And maybe if Alshon does play, it's not going to be a lot. He's not going to get starters numbers. I don't think he even starts. I mean, Fulgham better at that position, and that's what you want to see too. I mean,
right.
You want to see that.
I don't even, be honest with you, I don't even know why Alshon would want to come back.
I mean, again, we've had this conversation a million times, just about, you know, the expectations in the offseason from somewhere that he would never play again in the Eagles green. Clearly they kept him around for a reason. They would have released him. He's, I guess, now healthy. They couldn't do that for a while because he wasn't healthy. But then he got hurt again with the cast. You know, sometimes it's just better to turn the page. I don't know.
I hear you, brother.
Listen. They were, you know, they, I guess they were trying to, they've been trying to trade him for a year and over a year, but that was never going to happen.
No.
So I guess they still believe that he can play and he can help this team.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll see. I don't like this whole anti-Wentz thing that's coming out now again. This is crazy. It's crazy.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm a little down on Carson myself. It's hard not to be the way he's played.
Listen, I make no bones about it. I agree with you guys. Like, he was horrible against the Cowboys. But the previous four games, he had some pretty impressive moments.
A little better, yeah.
I mean, he made a couple plays.
Like, but he just can't do the basic things that you need out of a top quarterback.
But he makes incredible plays. But he makes some plays that are ridiculous. Like, if you have that kind of talent to make eye-popping plays, well, maybe if your coach better, you'll be able to make the other plays as well on a more consistent basis.
Yeah, but I mean, in year five, he's got to know that he just
can't. I agree. No, you're right.
Downfield or holding the ball.
No, I hear you.
Like, why? I mean, to go back to Brett Favre, it was always a great mystery that his career as he got older got progressively worse, and it wasn't because he was aging.
Hey, that I covered the game against the 4th and 26 game where he throws it up, and Brian Dawkins was basically catching a punt. It was in overtime. He lost the game. It was unbelievable what he did. It really was. Anyway.
But you see the other top quarterbacks, and just taking what's given. I mean, just live for another day, and he just doesn't have that right now. And it's and I know it's frustrating the coaching staff. I mean, it's just, and I think they drill this into him.
All right, you got it. I mean, I still am dubious of this coaching staff. I'll be real about it.
They're not helping.
You know?
They're certainly not helping. Yep. No, I mean, he hasn't been great since 2017,
yeah.
And that was a different coaching staff. Not everybody, but
so. I hear you. No, we're a couple pieces that are missing that, you know, might be better if they were here. Jeff, you're the best, man. You know I love you every week, man. It's the greatest. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you, sir.
Jeff McClain.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.